Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us. Good morning.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Good. Did you have a great holiday?
Got through it. So
yeah,
that's above ground. That's always good for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, go back before we get into this. You had the budget, special budget. I guess it was a workshop. How did that go?
Yeah, we had a special budget workshop. It's typically something where we all sit in the big circle on the third floor, and the budget heads kind of talk through the different components of their budget, and then we council members ask questions. This time it was a little bit harder because we were all online and walking through it online, but well, we had I think, you know, from the conversation or the agenda last night where we actually took the vote on budget, sounds like everyone got their questions answered and got all of their different concerns kind of worked out, and it's you know, a working budget, so it's going to change throughout the year as our needs change, but the workshop went relatively well. Took public comment and asked our questions, and some department heads went into detail, and went all right.
Well, you painted a nice picture there. I thought of the 70s show around that circle with a kind of a smoke-filled room.
Yeah.
So what was the public concerned about, or were they concerned?
You know, I think there's some concern about, you know, just as there always is with some of the costs of the city and some of the fact that we have a large population in the city that lives under the federal poverty level, and how we can best allocate our resources to provide services for the residents. So, you know, there's some concerns about improving the different systems. We got a late start to at least pick up last year. So we're going to be retooling the way that we do that, improving process. Starting earlier, we got a couple more leaf trucks now. You know, I have to, when we voted on the budget last night, we also then immediately voted on the budget amendment, which was a way, method of convenience, but we cut about $2.6 million, or voted about $2.6 million worth of cuts through various different unfilling of vacancies, furloughs, some layoffs, some various other items to save about $2.6 million out of the city's budget, so that we could better adjust to some of the realities I think that we're going to be facing in COVID. And, you know, it's likely that as we get the economy back into gear, as we see, you know, more of the effects of some of the mitigation strategies, that we have to make, you know, further cuts to the budget. But, you know, as I talked about yesterday, I think the city has a lot of grit. You know, we've been knocked down before and gotten back up, and we're good at that. And I think that this city's going to bounce back. I think there are some businesses that are already doing that, and some, in fact, that have grown during this COVID recession and actually increased their revenues. So, you know, I think it'll obviously, you know, we get our revenue through property taxes and income taxes and various fundings from state and federal government. So it kind of stands to see what is going to happen coming up here. But I think we're going to be well positioned with the budget that we put in place, with the amendment that we voted on last night as a kind of first triage for the budget and what we want to do this year in providing services to the residents.
Is it fair to say, personnel-wise, the city probably, would you say bare bones right now? There's probably not a lot of, And that's the biggest expense, as you have said many times, is the people, the personnel. Probably not a lot more cuts to go.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when we kind of emerged out of the last recession, we were fairly bare bones. We had to make, provide the same, try to provide the same level of service with about half as many staff as we used to have. You know, that's partially because of the plummet in property value, partially because of cuts to statutory cuts to revenue sharing, and you know, loss of income tax, things like that. So we've been doing more with less, I like to say, for a long time. We've gotten fairly good at it. Some of the temporary furloughs are because of some of the things that we just kind of stopped doing during COVID. So some of the enforcement, some of the things that we voted on last night for delaying the non-owner occupied property registry, delaying some of the enforcement on some of the more discretionary items of inoperable vehicles, trash, things like that, that we can hold off on until people get back on their feet. Some of the things like that that are right. Help to support the those workers that do that enforcement. If that you know, so they got furloughed, but I think that you know, the biggest budget item that we have is police and fire. So coming out of the general fund, and I think, you know, while we've made improvements over the last, you know, 5-6 years since I've been there, you know, that those guys still are, I think, stretched. So, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for a lot of cities, but I think we'll be able, definitely think that we'll be able to recover and become stronger and more resilient.
Big cut is the total shutdown of parks and recreation, with, I guess, the exception of the golf course. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, so that's one of the, you know, sad effects of some of these mitigation strategies, is that we had to make a decision here, you know, especially with the last extension of the stay-at-home order. We had to make a decision about what happens to all these summer programs that typically start now. You know, they're not light switches that you can just flick on. I say that about Nixon Pool. It's not just a on-off switch where you can turn the pool on. I mean, you got to clean it, hire the staff to operate it, clean the facilities. So there's a lot that goes into opening up a pool, and those are things that can't just be done overnight. So we had to take a, you know, strategic look at what we could do, what we couldn't do, and unfortunately, it just it didn't make sense for us to be doing those things, especially if, you know, we come to the point here and the stay-at-home order gets extended, or some of those activities don't get right. reopened. So we wanted to play it safe, and especially in a time where we're having to make cuts and focus on essential services. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the things that we unfortunately aren't going to see this year. But
so that's more than
back next year.
That's more than just COVID-19 driven.
You know, no, I think that's largely COVID-19 driven. I think
not financially at all.
Well, I think financially, but driven by COVID-19.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, in ordinary circumstances, we would have the revenue and ability to open up Nixon Park Pool, mm-hmm. to do all of these recreation activities, but I think it's probably largely more driven by the stay-at-home order and the multiple extensions that we've had, and also some of the hardship that COVID-19 has caused on the city of us making to prioritize where those resources go first.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dolby's with us, and they obviously a big night tonight as you interview these candidates for Ward 5.
Yeah, so we're interviewing three candidates for the 5th Ward vacancy, Susan Murdy, Peter Bormuth, and Karen Bunnell. We have a set of questions that was sent out to City Council last night. I haven't had a chance to review them all. I'm sure they're somewhat similar to the questions that were asked the previous time when we filled the vacancy. But that's at 6 o'clock, starts at 6 o'clock tonight, and our first interview kicks off at 6:05, and we're going to conduct those three interviews and hopefully be able to fill the 5th Ward vacancy. There's a lot of projects going on downtown now. And I think as we emerge from COVID, a lot more that are going to be happening. So I think it's important for those residents and businesses not only to have representation, but for council to have help as we continue the redevelopment of the city and redevelopment of the downtown core. So excited to see what some of the answers might be tonight. make for an interesting night. We'll do two in a row here, coming off of the council meeting last night, moving into the interviews tonight.
What's your biggest concern about filling this seat? I guess what type of person are you hoping to get in there or looking for?
I'd like someone. I think when you get into public service, it's important to have people that can work well with others, and that can be respectful and rational and reasonable, and be able to represent people from a variety of different backgrounds, a variety of different viewpoints. You got to work well with others, and sometimes agree to disagree and disagree without being disagreeable. So I think that temperament is important as we kind of approach that. The 5th Ward is very diverse. You got some a lot of businesses there, and you got some of the poorest communities in the 5th Ward. So, I think there's a range of interest and diversity of individuals and businesses in the downtown, and looking for someone who can address that, who's familiar with what we've been working on as a city and where we want to go as a community. So we've set that vision. All of us that have been up there have been elected by different parts of the city and are working to carry out an agenda to rebuild the city, myself included, having been elected and reelected by voters in the 5th Ward. So, I want to see someone who can fight for them, who can fight for those that have a voice but don't often have that voice heard.
Well, you vote tonight. Are you committed to picking somebody tonight, or how is that going to roll?
Oh, man. Well, it's the city council, so you never know what happens, Greg. I was surprised when we went through a heck of a process last time where we opened it up and had to go back out to bid.
Right.
See what else we could come up with, and I don't make any promises, we'll see what the candidates have to say tonight. This the the decision is ultimately on them. You know, we're the voters of the city voted on the charter, which has the city council, you know, picking these people. I'd much rather have the citizens picking their representatives. And, you know, it, from my conversations with those on the Charter Review Commission, they're working on sending that amendment back in front of voters. So I hope that the voters would pass that and vote to amend the charter to allow for this to happen so that we don't have to go through it again. But, you know, ultimately, I think we're going to find someone who's a good fit for council, a good fit for the downtown, and a good fit for, you know, the people that need a voice right now.
That will be on the city's Facebook page tonight.
Be live streamed on the city's website, Facebook page, and carried on JTV as well.
On, what was it, Channel 21? Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's 6 so, o'clock, yeah. Right?
Yep, starts at 6. So we got typically a little bit longer interview, so we'll get kick it off at 6, and then we'll have citizen comment, and then we'll be entertaining motions from the city council and see what happens, I guess.
It should be entertaining. I'll get my Orville Redenbacher ready.
Yeah, get your popcorn out.
For that one. Hey, thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Greg.
Take care.
Bye.
Jackson Mayor, Derek Dobies.